All right. It's Joe Miranda. Several years after the fact.
And you played?
I played, let's see, Arnold Reggie.
I'm Dean Williams. I played Roseanne Barr. Thunderfoot Jones. I'm sitting here with JoJo. We are what feels like the Detonate World Tour because we're sitting in a Best Western hotel room and we are recording the commentary.
Absolutely.
So what do you remember, like, the beginnings of this?
Well, I remember it starting off when you contacted me about the Thunderfoot, the Deacon Jones script, and we failed at that. This was at the top of NBBJ. It was the architectural firm that I was working at the time. Not working for, I was working at. And they let us use the rooftop to do that that sweep.
I remember you got permission to go up there and went up there. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. This is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, so you scored on that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. They let us go up there.
The downtown Seattle stuff, you kind of found that alley, right?
Yeah, because that was the same alley that the architectural firm, same alley that we used there.
Which actually turned out to be good because it was a seedy alley, but it wasn't dirty. I mean, it had that look, but it wasn't like, you know, we were going to get shot while we were down there.
It wasn't dangerous for us. As dangerous as it looked.
This stuff here was all shot in Ballard.
Right, right.
And that is Andrew's grandpa's car?
That's right, the Ford LTD. The gas guzzler he had there.
Which I think worked out perfect, and if I remember, when we got Andrew's grandpa's car, we were kind of wishing we all had cars like that, like all 70s cars. It'd just be awesome.
Well, it would have been perfect for the way that with the setting of the movie,
right?
You know, being a period piece.
Now, don't you agree? Like, if we had some huge budget, like if hell froze over and someone came and said, "Hey, we want to make Detonate into a, you know, multi-million-dollar budget movie," don't you think we'd still want the '70s thing?
Oh, like, because that's
right.
Yeah, that was where the movie. That's the whole thing. That was the whole thing. It was going to be a '70s buddy cop movie. So yeah, absolutely. The 70s scene or the 70s setting was definitely what made the movie what it is, the success that it was.
Which was originally kind of the comedy aspect of the Deacon Jones, is like this guy that was stuck in the 70s but it was modern day, but we kind of change it when we were doing the rewrites.
Oh, I was going to take a picture of that. I saw the Lalo Schifrin star.
Oh, really? On the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, when we were writing Rewrite, it was the 70s thing, but I don't think we specifically said, oh, it's in the 70s. We just have this 70s vibe, even though there's modern cars. And I mean, so there's no...
What we really wanted, I think, was to go for a kind of a Steve McQueen, like a Bullitt or a Dirty Harry or a Starsky and Hutch, you know, that sort of feel to it. Chips. It all came out of the 70s.
Now, the stuff here on the car, do you remember this was the first day of shooting? This is the first stuff we shot.
Yeah.
It was kind of our... let's do this because it seems pretty easy. It's just us, you know, our introduction to starting this. But
right.
I mean, when we started shooting Detonate versus the Deacon Jones thing, I mean, don't you agree that it was like a huge step? Like, we were like serious. I mean, we were serious about Deacon Jones, but Detonate was like, we were a little more serious about it, right?
We were. I think with Deacon Jones, we just didn't know what we were getting into.
Right.
We knew what we were getting into, but it had been so long since we'd like tasted that pie, and then we took a bite out of it, and we're like, ugh.
This is sour. Yeah, that didn't work out, mainly because of the costume thing, I think.
It was the costume thing and everything. I mean, there was so many people involved in just doing the little tiny bit that we did.
Yeah.
Whereas these other scenes where it just involved us, we could do with just us, which was nice.
Right.
You know, we didn't have to... Everyone else had their work schedules and whatnot, but we could just... Whatever, we had time.
Which was really our plan.
I love this. No one ever notices the third hand.
Yeah. And some people that do think we're, like, really stupid. Like, oh, my... You know, how stupid can you be? That obviously has three hands.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, some people don't really get that one.
Yeah, that's the joke, people. Maybe we just didn't pull it off all that well.
But having us as the main two characters, that was on purpose. Not because we thought we were the greatest. But if we were both the main characters and the two making the movie, we would always be there to shoot, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It was like I said, everyone else had the schedules, and it was really hard to schedule other people in, especially for the crime scene. Good Lord, how many times did we have to schedule that and get everybody there and on time and in costume at a certain time? I mean, it just seemed like it took forever to shoot it.
It was a nightmare, and it was 13 script pages. Granted, I don't know why, but I printed the script out in 10-point type rather than 12, so it'd probably be like 16 pages, which is way too long for one scene.
Yeah.
And the first day we tried to shoot this, the camera broke. You remember that? And everyone was standing there like, okay, now what? And it's like, I guess we have to come back and, you know. Yeah,
get all dressed up. Everybody back again. Yeah.
Captain, we can handle it. Yeah, he's here.
I'm sure you've noticed on probably one of your bike rides when you were up there last, but it's all fenced off.
I did notice it was all fenced off. Fenced off. Jose's pukey noises still cracks me up.
Jose's a little dry. Where did that come about? Because, I mean, that wasn't scripted, right?
No, that came about, he'd been doing that ever since I've known him. He's been doing that. It's a party gag of his. So we decided, well, hey, man, Jose's got this dry heave pukey thing he does. Let's throw that in there.
And you've known Jose for quite a while, right?
Oh, yeah. Since we've been hanging out since freshman year. My freshman year. He's a year older, so.
Well, I have to say I'm glad he did it because I seriously can't imagine anyone else doing McDermott.
Absolutely.
I like your little flip there.
That's another thing that people are always watching him, and then at the last minute it's like, wait a minute, what just happened? Back that up a little bit.
Which is why people need to watch it more than once, right?
Absolutely, yes. People need to own a copy. I love the sound effects he put in for the Geo, too. That was perfect.
Well, you know, since we're kind of... You were mentioning Steve McQueen and Bullet, so, you know, why not, you know, do a little homage to that by using the Bullet Mustang sounds.
Yes. Oh, but then there's the whole Geo.
Packs quite a bit of a wallop. 400 horsepower, 3-cylinder. Now this crime scene was, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 different days?
At least. It's sunny 1 second, and then it's cloudy the next.
And if you notice, too, it's a lot more noticeable in this because, you know, obviously I cut a lot out from the original version.
Mm-hmm.
But the crime scene tape is there and then not there because
The
first day we had all the tape and then we left it there. Then we came back and we just had scraps, so we'd try and move it around.
That's right.
But yeah, this scene was really, really long, which was hard to cut because there was lots of good stuff in there, but it's just like dragged.
It seemed, yeah, it was all the important stuff, but that's the thing, is this, it was the hardest scene to sit through, and it's right at the beginning of the movie. So in the original cut, this is where we lost the majority of the audience.
90% of the audience start nodding off.
Pretty much, pretty much. Although I gotta say, there was a few times when this thing at parties would actually get drug out and people would sit there. I think it's probably maybe the more they had to drink, the more they enjoyed it.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. But I mean, when we were writing this, because when we did the rewrite, we were at this restaurant and we were there like late night, just hours and hours.
Yes.
Sherry's on Aurora.
That's right.
And when we were writing, I think a lot of this is similar to the Deacon Jones, but I'm sure we changed some of it because obviously I think McDermott was still there. But looking back, I think now it would have been better maybe if we chopped this into three different, like the same information, just three different scenes.
Yeah.
Like at a bar. Or yeah. Then,
yep. Rather than trying to, you know, pack it all into this one scene, you're right. You know, like they come across a little bit here and then a little bit at the next, you know.
Because when you're watching the original version, and this scene is, I don't know, 13 minutes. Mm. You know, originally, that's where we meet and know all the characters.
Yeah.
So
it's an important scene, yeah, but yeah, I think we could have...
How did the cadaver juice taste, though?
Oh, it was a little sweet, a little tart, a little tangy. Yeah.
A little tart.
Oh, what you got there?
Wow. Setting up something that...
That could happen later, yeah.
You know, one of those movie things where you're like, well, if he had that, why doesn't he just use it more often? One of those little plot things.
A hole in the story, maybe.
One of many, right?
All right. Around the scene, about half an inch in
length. This head is not matched to Victor. Yeah, see, this scene is still going, and it's even cut back quite a bit.
Right. It's good, though. Everything in here is good. It's just, it's a lot to watch.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, looking back, it's like what we were doing, what we were trying to do, and what we achieved. This was in 1997. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of people were out running around making movies with video cameras.
Right.
And what we were able to pull off, I mean, that's what I'm proud of. It's like, you know, I don't think this is an Oscar-winning movie, but for what we had and what we went out and did for no money.
At the time when no one else was doing it?
I think we busted out and did it, man.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we did.
I really wish I would have held on to some of the costume stuff.
I got, I don't have any of that, but I have a box full of all kinds of scripts, rewrites, notes. I think I sent you a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah.
Photos.
Some scans and stuff. Yeah, I was kind of wondering because, you know, now that you have a son of your own, I'm like, you know, what Halloween is he going to bust out the mini Arnold Reggie costume?
You know, my youngest son really didn't seems like he couldn't care less. He could care less about any of this. My oldest son, on the other hand, he's a fan. He's seen this so many. He's seen this more times than I've even thought about it.
Didn't you mention at one point he was working on a little 8-bit video game version of Detonate or something?
Yeah, he was. When he was in high school, he was taking a video game programming class, and he was going to do a little Detonate.
That would
Nintendo
be
sort of thing. Be like Donkey Kong, but with Thunderfoot Jones and Arnold Reggie. Freak!
White man, speak with anger.
Your history, freak show! When the captain hears about this, he's gonna have your bag! It's the only direct in traffic at the next Yanni concert!
Got it! Obviously, I'm kind of biased, but I feel like, and I'm not just saying it because it's our movie, but I felt like if this was made into a big movie, and I've, you know how much just crap is out there movie-wise.
Mm-hmm.
If this was done just even small budget but big screen, I think the characters could work. I mean, I don't know about the Native American thing, how people would take that.
Right.
But I never felt it was like against Native Americans. I mean, he's the hero.
Yeah.
And so is Arnold Reggie, so...
Yeah. Has anybody ever said anything about being disparaging at all? Ever?
No. I've never felt that. But you know how everything these days is completely taken the wrong way. And, you know, I guess if I was really... had some Native American in me, I guess I would have an excuse to do it, but, you know, I feel like some people might take it the wrong way.
Yeah, well...
But there's nothing bad in there, I don't think.
No.
I've seen a lot worse in other movies.
That's fantastic.
That wasn't scripted, I don't believe. I think when we were there, we just thought it'd be even funnier. Just have him sitting on the toilet.
It is perfect, though.
Yeah.
It's just everyday stuff.
Now this, I'm sure you remember, this long day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember this was at Kyle's workplace, right?
Yeah, the place he was working at the time. Yeah. Which... we were really looking for some kind of office that just had the stereotypical cop office, you know, with all the desks and just the junk everywhere. But we could never locate a location like that, so we ended up, you know, doing the conference room.
It works, though. It works. Unless I'm pretty sure I'm looking for him right now, but I think we got Pepe in here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Once or twice.
Yeah, I tried to cut around some of those, but there's just... you can't avoid it.
How without cutting out some pretty important stuff?
We're referring to Pepe, who happens to be the tripod, who decides to show up in a lot of our scenes unbeknownst to us.
Yeah. Pepe was sneaky.
Yes, he was. And I think in this scene we have a light bar.
We do.
Like attached to it, so that shows up a couple times.
Yep. Yeah, that sandwich that Kyle just knocked out of my hand, I do remember that just being hilarious at the time. It just exploded out of my hand, and bread and lettuce went everywhere. I could stop laughing.
And that's like half the fun of shooting some of this stuff is, like you're saying, that was so funny. You just start laughing and you just can't stop.
Oh yeah.
I mean, some of these lines were hard to get out.
Yep. Oh, there's Pepe.
There he is. Yep. With the light bar on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which we're just going to pass off as junk in the room.
Yeah. Because every police conference room needs a tripod with a light bar on it.
Exactly.
Carved in what was left of his foot. Whatever it is, the initials FM have some importance here.
Interesting indeed.
Yes. Perhaps.
Yeah, this took almost the whole day.
That's right.
And we were kind of rushing, but once again, this scene was super long, which is why I chopped it into three different ones and spread it out throughout the movie, because this was another scene where you lost people, right?
Yeah. So what people didn't notice, right back there, there's a couple wanted posters on the gun shot off. A couple of wanted posters on the wall, and one of them was Jose. His old driver's license picture.
His actual driver's license.
His actual driver's license picture, and it was blown up.
And it was, for those of you who haven't seen it, or I don't know if you can see it in the movie, but it was a really bad picture. I mean, it was like almost a joke. It was so bad. So I think you blew it up at work, right?
I blew it up at work. In fact, I blew it up, to like an 18 by 24, and we had it at home. Because at the time, Jose and I were roommates, and we had it on the wall. I posted it on the wall, and it stayed there for a good year at least.
This scene we shot on two separate days. We did... our big idea was we wanted to do this big dialogue thing in one take.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that.
And I think Andrew was shooting it one day, and... I don't know if we had audio issues or what, but...
didn't Jake come up?
Yeah, it didn't turn out that well. So when Jake and Kevin were up, they helped us shoot the second day. So this is a mix of both, which coming up right here. This wasn't in the original. This is a great Oscar speech from you. Classic Reggie.
Oh. I'm here to help you bloody Yanks find this bomber chap, and all I've gotten so far is just a bunch of flack.
Yeah.
All I know is this is the same guy who sent bombs to Liverpool, killing my partner. And I will not rest until I find this man.
I can do it with or without your help, Mr. Jones. You decide.
Excuse me, I'd have more to say, but I'm tearing up right now.
Want to rewind that and watch that again? It's emotional, isn't it?
It is. It is.
I think some of the speech was there, but it wasn't, or maybe it was just an alternate take, but it's just, I was like, wow, I can't believe we didn't use this in the last one. This is a good example of, like, no lights or anything. I mean, we just were running guns, so shooting in the car was always a nightmare.
But thank God that Kevin and Jake came up with and showed us a few little tricks about...
Yes, the reflector board.
Yep.
Which helped a lot.
It was like
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
Never thought that dark day would come. The Coors, that's a nice touch.
This is at the Washelli Cemetery.
Yeah, it was. The Evergreen Washelli. Oh, and I tell you, gotta tell you, the only thing that I remember from shooting this entire scene is eating a half can of cold green pea soup.
Yes, which you saw like the first 30 minutes of the recut, like last time you were down here.
Yeah. Oh, here's the green pea.
Yeah, so I added it back in because originally I didn't have it in there, but I'm like, no. It has to go. I mean, the whole excessive vomiting thing was kind of our shtick, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention, like you're saying, it's complete torture that you had to eat that soup. So I'm like, you know, it has to go in.
Yeah.
You know, we can't have you do that for nothing.
Well, I appreciate that. That's for sure. I feel vindicated or... Yeah.
Being suspended for the 28.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to shoot too, just from noise. We had the landscaper guys always driving in and out of the scene, and I'm shocked we didn't get thrown out because we're just like hanging out in front of this huge like grave thing that is completely vandalized from who knows who.
Right.
So I can't believe they didn't think we were there to cause trouble.
Yeah.
Now, where'd we shoot the Acme thing?
I don't remember the outside. The inside was at Olympic Reaper Graphics, the downtown annex on 2nd and Seneca. And I was working there at the time. So I was able to get that. And there's Kurt Strubing.
Who unfortunately is no longer with us.
Yeah, no longer with us. But at the time, he was a pretty popular guitarist and vocalist for the band that you just heard on the radio that we just shot.
Well, if you're watching this version, I think this is the one that has Xanadu on it.
Oh, it is.
But
okay.
In the alternate soundtrack version, which you can watch also, that has his band.
There you go. Okay.
Fresh, you tough guy.
Tough guy. You want to see tough guy?
Yeah, I think we shot this at night. If I remember,
it had to be at night because they were closed.
Yeah, after hours.
Right.
And what I was telling Jake is, I remember this is the night they flew in.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Because for some reason I remember when we were shooting this, I'm like, well, they should be at the airport now.
Yeah.
And they were just up for something else, so they were here for a couple
days.
Come
on, man. Let me crack this plum.
Jones! Restrain yourself.
Maybe you and Mr. Belvedere were like a police brutality lawsuit shoved up your...
I remember getting permission to use this. I think permission just went as high as... high as just my immediate boss, who said, just don't tell anyone and don't break anything.
Right. Which I don't think we did.
Yeah.
They might show up and find a bunch of flour all over their desk. Because that little explosion of the speaker was flour.
Yeah.
Blown.
Or they might walk in the next morning and still one of the Acme chemical signs is up and says, that's...
I mean, we kind of lucked out on some of these locations. I have to say, a lot of these interiors, you were able to line these up. You know, like this and the roof location to shoot the alley scene, so
mm-hmm.
that helped a lot, just because the interior stuff is hard to get, because we wanted to make it feel like a real movie and not like our past stuff that's kind of like in basements and...
Yeah.
At least seven more here, all without a delivery address. all paid for.
I think actually right there we're looking at the script. We're actually reading right out of the script.
I think so. In fact, I was, because I still have the original camera we shot this with.
Mm-hmm.
I was tempted to shoot new insert shots of like an actual, you know, FedEx thing, which, you know, by the way, it's lovely in the plot how they're sending illegal stuff through FedEx and it's just there on the front counter, just plain as day. Well, potassium nitrate in this order.
That's right.
It's like no hiding it at all.
That's right. Yeah, I'm sure Federal Express would love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure we'll get a cease and desist letter from them if this, if this hits the net.
We'll have to call it Fed Rex on the next on the next version.
Right. CGI that out.
Jones, just stop right there. Now I want you guys to go over these briefs.
Here we are again, back at Kyle's.
Back with Captain Willard, which we wanted to have the whole angry captain thing going on.
Well, it's necessary for the whole 70s buddy cop thing. He's exactly. The thing that's pushing them together, even though that they're resisting working with each other.
Spirit horse runs far. The moon!
And I'm glad we got Kyle to do it because, you know, he kind of understood what we're trying to go for.
Right.
And when we were doing the rewrite, we were casting people as we were writing. I think this person would do it. And that was it. Like, we had, like, one choice, and we were hoping we could convince them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And this whole FedEx thing, we originally had someone else who actually worked for FedEx.
Yes.
And we had access to a truck, I think. But then at the last minute, they weren't able to do it, so.
It didn't work out, although that was still the office that she worked at. And but we got this actress to do it, Tolly.
Which cracks me up that she's walking out of the office, and in our minds at the time, we were just trying to make the scene work. We're like, okay, she's off work, she's heading home.
Right.
So she gets into her car, but some people are like, man, what FedEx person like drives like a regular car, and, you know, she has all the packing slips with her. And,
right.
But
she did.
You may have a few important pieces of the puzzle, and that we'd appreciate your cooperation in answering a few questions.
I think, from what I remember from this, it's like this was a friend of a friend, or even further.
She was a roommate of a good friend of mine, and but she was an actress, so. She was available, and she said she'd love to do it. So
I just remember kind of awkward moments of driving to the location because we didn't really know her at all. And it's like, hey, hop in the car. We're going to go shoot this scene. And, I mean, you know, we're kind of like we didn't really know what we were doing. I mean, we did, but we didn't. And we're just like, oh, man, this is so. But it all worked out good.
It did. It did. But yeah, I think she was the only one that we didn't personally know very well that we actually had to work with.
Which I think was, like, we just kind of wanted to do it our way, and we didn't want anyone to, like, think they know more or tell us to do something different.
Right.
So that's where we kind of got our friends. Not to mention they'll show up, you don't have to pay them.
Yeah. How much did we spend making this movie total?
I've been wondering about that, and the only way I can think, you know, how technical we want to get on this, but when the camera broke, I was using my parents' camera. I bought a new camera, that little 8mm one,
mm-hmm.
and that was like $550, I think, when I got it. Our costumes, which were
thrift store. I know I got mine at a thrift store. Couldn't really have been more than, $15-$20 maybe for
pants,
a tie. Oh, the jacket might have been $15 by itself, so.
No more than $40, I think, each on our costumes. And I'm trying to think the guns we had.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Thunderfoot's gun was Dave Harrell's gun.
Oh, right.
We used in Diamond Jack, and we never gave it back. And unfortunately, that gun was held together with tape by the end of the movie.
Right.
So, you know, Dave, if you're listening to this, we apologize that you never got your pellet gun back.
Tell me about his tummy! But what? What?
She said this guy, a Mr. Peterson, lives on our street. She said he stops by, waits outside the coffee shop, receives FedEx packages several times a
month. We didn't pay anybody.
Here's another thing that always goes noticed when you ask me here what time it is. I look at my watch just as we're walking underneath the clock.
And we just said, well, you know, he's a dyslexic. Because it's 1:30 instead of...
it's coming up right.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1:03 up there.
And he says 1:30.
That's right.
And I did, in After Effects, I did motion tracking on the clock because I was going to fix it.
Yeah.
But trying to do that effect stuff with old video.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to... So the tracking didn't work and it just looked worse. So I'm like, you know what? That's like one of the things about this movie that's funny.
Yeah. And I want anybody who's watching, notice that it said 86 degrees Fahrenheit there. And look at all the crap we're wearing here.
So you, dude. I mean, you had that tweed sport jacket and the raincoat for one thing. Right?
Just because I'm from England, I got to wear all that crap 24 hours a day.
And that was a hot summer, if I remember. I mean,
it was.
Obviously, being in Seattle, we were shooting for, you know, doing all the production in the summer.
Yeah.
Because there's only a few months of good weather.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was
a small window of opportunity for that.
And I hate to say it, but I think I washed my costume maybe once or twice. Yeah, that shirt could practically stand on itself.
I think the shirt I'm wearing was originally white, but...
some of this, I've always thought was a good example of our creativeness as far as... And a good example of what this movie was. It was us trying to make this movie. So some of these shots... It's on a tripod outside of our car. There's nobody out there. It's just us.
Yeah.
So we'd reach out, hit record, and basically switch and do it again.
And go, dude, you had different angles from inside, outside. That's right. Bring the camera inside, and I'd shoot from my lap right there. And then back and forth. You shooting from your angle, and then we'd go back outside.
I think Andrew showed up at one point, and but even still, we're doing the tripod thing with him.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Now,
this was a difficult scene.
Yeah, you'll see in the bloopers it was hard to get through this one.
Yeah.
I think that's a script page that we're looking at.
It is a script page. It's probably got our lines on it.
Yeah. 3 hours to get to the other side of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Seattle traffic, I guess, right?
That's right. You can get from Seattle to Portland in 3 hours, but not in this movie.
The phone, you remember the phone?
Oh, yeah.
The brick.
That phone was awesome.
Which... I don't remember. I mean, it was obviously shot in 97, but cell phone technology, I think in the beginning we had my dad's cell phone, which was a flip phone, but that was pretty new at the time.
It was, it was pretty state-of-the-art stuff right there, and it still had the analog, the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this was fun, too. All right, jump back and let me throw these, nuts and bolts at
I think some were actually flaming. I mean,
yeah,
we tried to light them on fire to get them, and it's like, you know, it just doesn't show up on screen, but
it's another one of those things where at Shilshul cars are driving by and we're lighting crap at fire and throwing them at each other.
Oh, there's so much stuff, like, you know, going through some of the footage of this, it's like I just have to laugh at, like, the nerve we had of what we did out in public.
Yeah,
especially with the guns. Yeah. Now, this is at your house, right?
Yeah, this was my house. It's before we had dogs, so we still had a yard. But we would never have been able to do these rolls and jumps after the dogs were there, because they landmined the whole thing.
And once again, this is also a scene that we have no cameraman. This is us, like, I'd say 75% of the movies, just handing the camera off, switching back and forth, or tripod.
Mm-hmm. I think we did a really good job, especially this scene right here.
Yeah.
So.
It kind of makes you think in a different way.
Just, what kind of cops, what is that move? We're doing back and forth there. I don't think they teach that at the police academy.
Now, you actually sprained your ankle here. I mean, this is like real, right?
When I fell, yeah, it was a... I think it was my ankle or my shin or something, whatever it was. I remember it hurting pretty bad.
Yeah, you were injured. And if I remember correctly, a neighbor came and thought we were trying to break into your house or something because we were yelling. I think
the neighbor over on the west side over there just came out and, is everything okay? I think it was Jack.
So towards the end, we're kind of like half voices, you know? Trying to sound angry with a half voice.
Yeah.
This is my multiple personality because my acting skills weren't to the par to where I could actually keep one character, so it kind of turned into the multiple personality thing.
Every once in a while, yeah, you'll see Dean come out with a little De Niro or...
Well, the thing that was hard is you'd be like, no, 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 you got to say it. And you do this great, like, Indian voice. And I just couldn't do it. And I was like, maybe we should just have you do the VO afterwards of Thunderfoot.
Just be like Seth MacFarlane, just doing everything.
Yeah, doing all the voices. But I seriously thought, and this is kind of off the subject here, and how ridiculous. It's like, look, it's just Detonate. I realize that, but I'm like, I was toying with just a little short animated scene.
Yeah?
A Thunderfoot and Arnold Reggie animated scene. I'm just like, if we lived closer, I think it'd be hilarious to do the voices again and try and animate. I mean, because they're funny characters together, I think.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, it could happen.
Just like the Mr. T cartoon,
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we could sell it to Cartoon Network or something.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be all over that, wouldn't they?
The Adventures of Arnold and Thunderfoot.
Now, this was also shot in front of your house at the time.
Yep. Yep. Was that was actually Jerry's car, too, right?
Yeah, at the time, he had that little Subaru, and it was, as he said, a total beater, so right. He's like, yeah.
Yeah, jump on the hood. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, nothing got, broken except for... I think the radio...
A couple of holes in the seat when you shot it.
The radio knob got broken, I think.
Right.
Now, this is Christie's apartment.
That's right.
Who placed the cafe barista. She
down
lived
on,
here.
Where were we? I think this was in between 24th and 58th, I think.
There's actually a skate park across the street now.
Is there really?
They built a skate park, which is a little late. But, yeah, I'm just a little bitter, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we shot that at Christie's, and in the deleted scenes, I cut together the original version of this, where we go to his apartment.
Yeah.
But because it's Christie's place, and it's kind of a nice place, we had to be quiet.
Right.
So, the whisper yelling, and we're running on tiptoes. I mean, it just was ridiculous.
We got some great stills from in there, though.
Yeah.
From in that hallway.
Was that, like, the one day we had, like, one of those... Instamatic cameras.
Yeah, we had all the guns laid out.
Yeah. Oh. Last time I was up there, this alley is still there.
The alley, yeah. I ride my bike through here every once in a while, and the alley is still there. Of course, it all just comes right flooding right back to me every time I come through there.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Just walking down that alley, I'm just like, wow.
That scene right there, you're wearing shorts, but we never never panned down so we could see it.
There were plenty of days of that, I think, where we were wearing shorts.
It was hot.
Yeah.
I remember when I was chasing him and I didn't jump over that fence. I was streaming with sweat. It was another 90 degree day where I was running around wearing all that crap.
Oh, totally. I'm surprised we didn't, die of heat stroke.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was on purpose, and I just, happened to lose my jacket now and then. and you're still busting the raincoat.
Well, in England we have to be properly...
That's right.
Properly dressed, ready for the rain.
The whole England and Scotland Yard is like, if there was ever a sequel, man, I would just love to see some Arnold Reggie in England, doing some drug busts or something. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. That would be fantastic.
I had this hilarious idea that, you're in England and something happens and you get, taken down or kidnapped or shot or, I don't know, something like that, and they have to go track down Thunderfoot because he's the only one that can help save or find you or... And they track him down in the woods, and he's living in some cabin.
He's quit the force years ago.
Oh, it's just endless ideas for a sequel that would just be so funny. It's like I'm tempted to write it. Not that we'd ever shoot it, but you just start thinking of these things, and you're like, oh my gosh, that would be so funny.
That would be.
granted, if we were in our mid-20s and had all the time in the world like we did then.
Yeah.
And better cameras, which is something I'm just so bitter about. It's iPhones would shoot a better looking picture than this.
Right.
And.
But once again, that just goes to show you what we had back then, what we did back then. No one was doing it. We had it with the equipment that we had, which was...
Pretty basic, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we pulled off something pretty good. Which sometimes I feel like I have to explain to people.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm having to defend it. But, nowadays you kind of have to point it out because you see stuff nowadays and it just looks really good. Quality-wise...
I've still seen stuff though that's out there, and I look at what we did. What we did is still better than what I see a lot of people doing out there. And it's not about the quality of, to me, it's not about the quality of the equipment that we had, or that it just comes down to the effort we put into it.
Well, and also too, we are setting out. This is like the first time we were serious about this, and we shot a feature length movie. Yeah. Not just a 5-minute short, a feature-length movie, which originally was an hour and 40 minutes.
Right.
So, that's...
Which is about an hour and 20 minutes after everybody fell asleep.
About 10 minutes after everyone fell asleep, right? Right.
A little grainy there.
And, of course, we shot all this within, I'd say, 2.5 months. Or is it 3 months? I mean, it was...
You were in San Diego by July. I think we started shooting at, what, at the beginning of... Or the middle of May or the beginning of June, something like that.
Yeah. I think like that. So, but, I mean, we...
Or, I mean, not July. I think you were in Diego by August.
Yeah, I think it was the first or middle of August. But... We were, we were doing this every day. Almost every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, showing up, call time, 5 a.m. sometimes, bring donuts and coffee, and wait till the sun comes out, get everything set up.
Yeah, most of those really, really early morning shoots, which we would shoot before we went to work, those were pretty much us. We would do the... Like this, we shot ourselves. This is another good example of a no-man crew.
Yep. just us and a tripod.
And choreographing that fight was hilarious because we were having this big fight scene under there and there's no one else there. It's just us. And the camera's off in the distance, kind of hidden.
Yeah.
So I'm sure people are just like, those guys are just going at it.
Going down to where we did that, though, even now, just looking at the Ballard blocks, it's like, wow. That stuff is, it's changed so much. Even though those little alleyways and stuff are still there, the surrounding areas are so different.
Yeah.
I don't even recognize it anymore.
Which makes you feel old because this was 15 years ago. You know, you can't help but just be like, I guess that was a long time ago because things have changed so much.
Right. So this, I've never seen this before.
I added in the little Salvador Dali like dream sequence nightmare.
That's fantastic.
Which I think we even maybe talked about this when we were shooting it, some kind of nightmare or something, but
right,
we just didn't have time like to shoot it because we were pretty much sticking to the script and didn't, you know, stray from that too much because, you know, we had a schedule.
We had a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
After all this, you know what? I don't think we ever even had a wrap party. We got to have a wrap party.
Or any kind of premiere. I mean, I don't know if we were just kind of so over it at the time.
Everybody's so much older and spread out now.
Yeah. You, like, where do you do the premiere?
Yeah.
So. This is your niece, right?
Yes. She's 22 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which this is actually her second appearance in one of our little projects. I think she was in Diamond Jack.
She was. She was a weightlifter.
That's right. And she talked us into doing the little hop, skip, little contraptions or something like that.
Yeah, that's right.
So this was shot in front of your mom's place, right?
Yes.
I think last time I was up there, I was driving around trying to find it, and I couldn't remember what street it was on, but I remember it was around that park or something.
Yeah, it's like half a block down from Salmon Bay Park, so this was actually on 19th.
Okay. Now, this is another one of those, tripod, just one more scene we could kind of, you know, check off the list.
With just us being there. I think that's what kind of made the movie, is we didn't really have to schedule too many other crew members.
To be honest with you, there's no way we would have been able to do this movie if it wasn't just you and I trying to do the two-man show.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, just, it's like, when it's just the two of us, you're so focused and there's no one else to rely on to not show up or, you know.
Well, everyone else had other lives. I mean, this...
Right.
Not saying that we didn't have lives, but this was basically, we decided that this would be our life for the next few months. So.
And boy, was it. Yeah, for like 3 months, we ate, slept, and breathed this. So...
Yeah, you cut me, I bleed Diamond Jack. Or detonate, excuse me.
I mean, we were so, like, into it, and we believed in it so much that's why we would wake up at, like, 4:35 in the morning.
He just walks out of his house in full, full Unabomber getup.
That's, like, all he wears, right? This was in front of where Andrew used to live at the time.
That's right.
Another place down in Ballard. Which is pretty much our major locations. Majority of the film was shot in Ballard.
Oh, you cut out the Jurassic Park where you took the glasses off.
Actually, that was kind of in there for a while, but it just seemed to take so long. The Jurassic Park. Yeah, I remember the motivation for that.
here was another one to that was fun to film. just following,
driving around.
Yeah, driving around, following Andrew and his grandpa's LTD.
From what I remember, it's like it's good to get those because it is just kind of, you know, the B-roll, the extra footage you need, but
the fill-in stuff.
It's like, man, sometimes that's almost harder to do because it's like we had to, you know, get Andrew there to show up with his grandpa's car,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of drive around.
See, that's the thing. You don't. It's not just all about. It's just not about all about getting Andrew there. It's about him. He's got to call his grandpa and borrow the car, and he's got to. Everything has to line up. The stars have to, you know, Venus and Mercury have to be in the same spot.
And it was kind of random driving, too. It wasn't, you know, we didn't have a huge plan for that. It's just like, you know, let's just drive around. But then you had to get in his car to get the shots of me and the Geo.
Yeah, that's right.
And vice versa. So, it's a lot of work.
Scum-sucking maggot. Scum of society.
This is another one of those scenes where it's like, yep, we're in front of a post office with the Unabomber.
Walking into the post office with a box. Yeah.
Which wasn't long after the whole Unabomber thing, so.
And then running away.
Yeah.
While two guys chased him. That was brilliant.
I think a lot of this stuff would be much harder to do nowadays.
Yeah. Well, the security? Yeah.
I mean, obviously the guns and stuff, but it's like nowadays people are so on guard when they see cameras.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, businesses and... This was behind Fred Meyer, right before we got coffee with our fake permit badges.
What was that? What is that insistent...
Can I get a signature for this?
How did that go again?
We were kind of worried about having permission to shoot at certain locations. So I think I made up like these fake film permit badges and then you laminated them at work.
You were working at the valet place. So you already had the tags and you had the lanyards and everything. But you had a Silver Cloud.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Tag or something. Yeah, and then we glued it and laminated it.
And it just said, like, Caliber 7's film permit, like, in really bold writing.
I wish I still had one of those.
That would have been one of those things to hold on to.
Yeah.
Can't believe we didn't. But, yeah, the whole concept was if we were at some of these locations, we'd try and act like we're supposed to be there. And
right, right.
Maybe they would see the film permit and they wouldn't bother us.
Actually, if you went back and rewound it to where we were talking to the FedEx lady... in her car, hanging from the mirror, you can see one of those tags.
That's those. Right.
Oh, here's my my fantastic stunt scene,
which you miss the cushion at one point.
Right, but you know, it's for the movie. That was our. We should have had T-shirts made. It's for the movie.
That was the quote every time, right? Like any kind of injury or stunt. It's like, hey, it's for the movie.
Yep, anything happened or anybody's got to throw down a couple extra dollars or miss a date or stand up somebody at the altar. It's for the movie. Dude, what? You're getting married? We have this scene scheduled. It's for the movie, man.
That would be a good shirt. We should start making all these shirts and people's like, I've never heard of it. You know, what movie is that?
That's... Detonate T-shirts.
That's the whole point. You know, like the Arnold Reggie one I kind of mocked up for the book.
Yeah.
It's like, I'd wear that.
There was a couple of those that I saw.
It's like, you know, I'd...
The package.
This is another one of these scenes where we're shooting all this on a fairly busy street. There's, you know, cars passing every, you know, 5-10 seconds.
Yeah. And... We're just pointing guns at each other.
Price one sales.
I don't know what twisted Kmart you buy your panties at, Mr. Psycho. But what?
That place is actually still there. It's a little nicer. Not as run down looking, but...
I love Andrew's mustache in this. I think he still can't grow a mustache that good.
The thing that cracks me up about the mustache is is one of those fake ones, and it looked really bad. So we had him trim it with scissors, and it made it even worse because it was like just like this perfect piece of mustache.
I really kicked him too, yeah, right there. And he was not happy with me.
This was actually a pretty good little fight scene. There's the mustache.
It's you, Detective Schmidt.
It was the rookie the whole time.
You know, the one thing that surprises me through this and, you know, going through through doing the recut is the audio.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there were some parts that were pretty bad, hard to cut, but for the most part, I think we lucked out pretty good for this cheap lapel mic that we had and all the dialogue we were able to capture in this whole thing with that stupid little boom.
It definitely worked out. It definitely did.
Any cop that made the front...
I don't remember when we shot this, if this was at the beginning or end. I mean, everything was shot out of order. But I seem to recall maybe towards the end, because I think my shirt gets kind of bloody.
Yeah, so. I can see that.
Him? Me?
Me. No, him.
Who, me? You talking to me?
On your butt!
Oh, dread.
A lot of this is still just a blur.
Yeah. It's crazy that it was so long ago. That's what's...
There's the hole in the story. It's like, all that... that's awesome. New little 2012
additions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good too, because halfway through the movie we just no longer had muzzle flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in here I had to erase the LTD, which was in the background. You know, it's just one of those little things. You're running a gun and trying to shoot it, you just don't realize that the bomber's car is parked right behind us.
Right. Well, yeah, we don't have a script supervisor, right. You know, and we don't have a... That's awesome.
This whole thing came out of nowhere. I don't remember if Deacon Jones had the magic power of the tab.
Right.
Cam, but I seem to recall the whole Freshmaker thing was still in the Deacon Jones, but... The whole magic power, I don't remember if that was in Deacon Jones or not.
No!
I think I might actually still have the script for Deacon Jones. I can look at it.
Yeah, that'd be... I know McDermott and all those people were in there. And I mean, it was a good idea. You know, you playing the bartender that becomes the buddy.
Right.
But looking back and what we had to accomplish with those costumes...
Oh, we would have had to do it every single scene. That's worse than just having to put on a hot jacket and walk around.
Well, even with the costumes we had, which our goal was to get something that was somewhat normal, you know,
yeah,
just normal clothes, and that was still hard to run around and do that.
I haven't even got insurance yet.
Better go get some.
This is Jake and Kevin's little cameo appearances.
That's right.
When they were up in Seattle at the time helping us shoot those scenes. You know, about a half hour ago.
And this is actually Christy's car. Christy was the coffee shop attendant, or coffee shop lady, barista. This is actually her car she loaned us.
Which we kind of lucked out, because I found this random footage of a silver GTI blowing up. And she happened to have like a Chevy Chevette or something that was silver,
yeah,
and it had somewhat the same shape, so
it worked out.
Yeah, we really lucked out on that. This is our big final scene.
The final one-liner.
Which was shot in a church parking lot.
Yeah, with the flame that was actually underneath the... I remember lighting the flame bar underneath the screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
For that.
Which didn't work as well, so I kind of added in some CGI flames. Just because we were, like, pouring lighter fluid. Peggy Burns, played by Celeste.
Celeste Lucas.
She actually had a larger part. The calls coming from inside the car thing.
That's right.
Which, I was having a really hard time cutting that in, so it's a much quicker version, but she's still here at the end.
There you go.
By the way, Jones...
And the shot here of you coming up, where you're on the beach, I do remember we shot that the day I flew out.
Yeah, and it wasn't quite so warm out.
No, it was early morning, too, and if I remember correctly, we like found like a beer can on the beach, and we're like wiping it off, and you're like not really drinking it. It's kind of like an inch away from your mouth to try and... It's like, I'm not putting my mouth on that. But yeah, that was literally the last thing we shot. The shots of me in the airplane actually shot in San Diego when we were editing the front seat of Kevin's car.
Yeah, I remember that being the last thing in our list of things to do that never seemed to happen.
So the problem with getting this movie out there, like realistically, is obviously the music is lifted from other soundtracks, but also some of the footage here like this.
Right.
Which is
copyrighted material.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, because it would be kind of cool to really get it out there just for what it is.
Right.
But, you know, because of that stuff, legally, we'd have to, I don't know, do some really lame miniature models or something.
Right.
Reshoot that. I don't know.
Really liked what you did here with the closing credits, though.
I just wanted to do something cool, because why not, you know?
Yeah.
So I felt like this is the last time it's really going to be touched on as far as the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is it. This is the last, you know, go at it. I say that now, but, you know, 10 years from now, maybe it's like, hey, maybe we need a longer version. I just wanted to go 60 minutes, which I think it ended up being like 65, just to try and get people to watch it.
Definitely easier to sit through this version than the other.
Some of these credit names are the same from the original film. Obviously, I had to redo the credits at the end, but...
Mm.
The fake names we made up, because we were doing everything, so we kind of started like redoing our name.
Xing Zhao Jojo Morangi.
And you were Jar Jar at one point, and this is long before Star Wars.
Oh, that's right.
So we coined Jar Jar before Lucas. But I don't know if we want to admit that.
Well, it depends. Is he going to give me any royalties?
That's true. So watching...
If you go to Sherry's, the original script and a photo of us sitting around the table is encased in glass in like a little shadow box that they have there over the cash register.
If we were both up in Seattle, that would be really funny to go there and just take a picture. And I still remember the booth we normally got, which was kind of in the back corner.
Yeah.
That would be funny. So watching through this is kind of bring back some memories.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back to you, seeing this for the... I mean, I don't know the last time you actually watched through this thing.
It's been a while, but it seems like as soon as it starts, it's like I just watched it.
Yeah, right. It all starts coming back.
It does.
But, you know, overall, I think, you know, like we said before, accomplishing a feature-length movie with, you know, the equipment we had and... you know, at the time, I think we pulled it off.
Yeah. I've always been, you know, I'm not the first person to actually run out and show people, but I've always just been really, really happy with what we did here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. It's like, you know, most of the time, a lot of people don't even know, like friends of mine don't even know we did this.
Yeah.
But then when we show them, it's after... you know, defending ourselves. It's like, oh, this wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to sign off here. So thanks for watching, and make sure to check out some of the bonus features and the other commentaries.
There you go.